put your whole self in. You put your whole self out. You put your whole self in and you shake it all about. You do the hokey pokey and you turn yourself around. That's what it's all about. I had a few teachers in here that reminded me that's the last part. But I told her the tush is what I like. Okay. I'm a second grader. I'm elemental, whatever I am. Okay. Keep calm and do the hokey pokey. Aren't the British great? But that's my suggestion today as we get serious. I mean, we can't help but get serious. We're living in interesting times. It's a major paradigm shift. Richard Rohr, Catherine, and Mike Morrill tell us that this is like a major conversion experience. Major conversion experience. Why did St. Paul, have to spend a few days, weeks blind to get rid of the stuff he knew? And that he knew was true. He was well educated. I mean, he went to school with the Greeks. He was well educated. And he had to unlearn some stuff by that conversion experience. That's why we're part of the revolution. We're asked to be part of it, to unlearn some of this stuff that we think is true. And that's the paradigm shift that we're talking about. And we've got to put our whole selves into it. We embody this because we believe in the Trinity and the energy that's inside the Trinity and outside the Trinity. We believe in the energy that is with us, within and without us, without us too. We believe in the energies that come from animals and from trees. We believe in that. And it's time that we start talking seriously about that. Now, I'm in recovery, so I love the hokey pokey, this one, the Hokey Pokey Clinic, a place to turn your life around. Isn't that true? I mean, we all need a clinic. Forget promises. You don't have to spend $30,000 a month on that place in Malibu. Okay? We can do the hokey pokey and we can turn ourselves around. For free. Somebody need to warm up. Okay. We'll be looking at the paradigm shift that we're all experiencing. What I want, full disclosure, I used to do this with, I used to work a lot in human relations in Los Angeles, and particularly in the schools. And I particularly were called in. A moment of... to be at the beginning, but this is okay. Okay. Yeah, we're It fits in after the hokey pokey, I think. Okay. Again, Trinity Cathedral, San Francisco. What artists can do. Huh? You see any familiar faces? The Dancing Bear. The Naked Woman, which I think is Lady Godiva, but I don't know. Or it's the horse behind her. And then two naked men that I think was John the Baptist, but then it didn't work for me. So we'll play it again, Sam. Okay. So you can take another sheet of paper, or you can write it on the back of the paper that you were writing on. And I'd like you to write... do this, in the middle. It's a circle, full line, and then broken lines connecting a halfway broken circle, and then a full line circle. It looks like a dog bone or a barbell. But the broken lines matter. What I was explaining to you is I used to work with children in a program called Green Circle, but I used to train adults to do it in the program, but I used to train young kids to do it with younger age kids. And so I used this diagram because of change. This was in the 80s, you guys. But I'm still using it because I think it works for embodying what a paradigm shift feels like. Do all of you know what I mean by embody? Okay. If you have a stiff neck, that's embodiment. If you're loose and you've just done yoga this morning, that's embodiment. Okay? We're feeling stuff. And when we do stuff with one another, to one another, it's embodied. I also work at a prison, a youth prison in Ventura. And those girls embody everything that's happened to them. And the best thing you can do is sometimes rub their shoulders in a caring way, not in a violent way. So, this paradigm shift, we're called to go on this journey again. We go through it very gently most of our lives. We just go through it. This is old knowledge. It's pretty firm. That's why it's a dark line. The broken line between the other circle that's half broken is new knowledge. You can also call this new spirituality. Old spirituality and new spirituality. This is what's called the shuttle zone on the way. I mean, most of us, I think, right now, know we're being called here, but we get a little scared in the shuttle zone. And so we turn back to what we know. It doesn't matter if you're old or young. Little kids have to do this too. I had a fifth grade boy. One of these are paradigms. Just a second. And one of these paradigms is family. So he raised his hand. He said, Mrs. Yoshitomi, he said, I'm in the shuttle zone. I said, oh, okay, tell me about it. He says, my dad just married his fifth wife. And this is like matter of fact. Just married his fifth wife, and I don't think, he goes, I have another wife in me. You know, you can just do this, but otherwise you have to just get to the other side. I use this for forgiveness. Because you know how we talk to our friends and they're like over here and you think, boy, they're so enlightened. And then we see them the next week and they're back in there. I have to, like, what just happened, you know? But then I have to recognize I do that too. You know, with all, I'm talking about the issues that really don't matter, but we care about. Okay. But I give you permission to do this. Okay. You will take that paper and do it on your own. But as a group, what I'd like to do is from the group have you tell me what are... I'm going to put religion... and spirituality here as a paradigm. I'm going to put family here. These are paradigms that we have to move from here to there. What's another paradigm that you're concerned with? Aging. Community. Okay, we're getting out of the I and we're getting into the we, right? So community is a good one, and yet it's also larger than community because we're talking about nation. But I'm also concerned about my local community. Okay. And we're talking about nation states. I'm not concerned about my nation. I'm concerned about nation states. Where's everyone going? I thought I knew what the British were like. I mean, just a little bit. I thought I knew the names of all the African nations, and then they all changed on me. Eighth grade, I learned how to spell Czechoslovakia, and I don't have to do that anymore. I spent weeks learning how to spell Czechoslovakia. What else? And I can add more paradigms. Health. Aging, and can I put health? Yeah. And over here? Let's put friends under community. Relationships. Yeah. Any of you concerned about gender relationships?
Yes.
I am. Maybe it's because I work with young people, but I am. Gender. Another way of putting it into a paradigm, racial relationships. Economic. Big one. Yeah. credit? I'll put it in economic. What did you say? War? Nations. Okay, let's just stop there. Is there anything that someone has to put on there? This is just a way for us to experience it together, yes. Life. We thought our life was going to be like this. I mean, I did, but I grew up in the 50s. But then I grew up. And what I deal with at the prison is we're having young people grow up because of sexual abuse and other things. And they're not alone. I mean, they're not in prison because of that. Okay. But the way that we treat one another and how those children, and this gets Anne to your thing on racial relationships, how we treat one another makes us very angry people. That's why the F word is so predominant today. It's the only word that can explain it. That can explain it, the F word. Snafu. Did you want to put that on the... According to the book, human beings have disconnected with God. And whether or not you believe in God, we've disconnected with one another. And the natural consequences of disconnection is excessive violence, ecological destruction, warring of states, hating, gender wars, and all the rest. Does that make sense to you? I mean, we're not acting normal. I mean, we're not acting like human beings like we're supposed to act. What's going on? That's why we're all embodying the negative. And we've got to start doing the hokey pokey. Not to make fun of it, but to put it in perspective. Because the other thing the book talks about is God always wins. God always wins. Now, if you're in the liturgical circle that Roman Catholics are in, you've been hearing a lot about the prophets. Ezekiel, Isaiah, Jeremiah, this summer and going on to it. And those prophets are meant to make us uncomfortable. But what they said over probably 4,000 years ago is true today. It's just true today. And you don't even need to translate it. I mean, I don't have to translate. I'm going, oh my God, that's happening. The prophets are right. So take this book as prophetic. Not pathetic. Prophetic. There's some words I can't say. I get that from my mother. Okay. Paradigm shifts are major conversation opportunities. And they're major conversion opportunities. But we need to get into diverse groups to do it. It can't just be word and life. We've got to create other ways of knowing one another. And our public arenas are the best places to do that. We sent, Jerry and I decided to send our kids to public school for as long as we could. And then in high school, I wanted them to get the religion part. And they were taught by Jesuits. And one of them went on to get a religious studies degree from Berkeley. He's the atheist. He's here. He's the one with our granddaughters. Okay. He's here. Our oldest, David, is in the shuttle zone. But he chose as his patron saint, St. Martin de Porres. When he was 21, when he was confirmed. The patron saint of mulattoes. Remember that word? His experiences within the church was not good, but he survived. Okay. So this is how we usually do it. We think we know, and something happens. Divorce. Betrayal. What other things happen?
Failure,
illness, death. But also good things happen. Children. I mean, for me, it changed my life, my whole perspective. I mean, all of a sudden, I became a global woman. You know. And I know dads feel that way, too. So good things happen, but they bring us here. And we try it for a while, and then we get hurt, and we get judged. And we come back. But we tell our stories back into our communities. Some communities have to choose to send out, especially I think our immigrant communities in this country, have to send out the diplomats. And they're brave. They're like our explorers. Okay. They're scouts. Okay. And they go pretty well in here. Most of them are already here. They know stuff. Karen Baker, womanist theology, she knows this. She knows it in her heart of hearts. It's embodied in the black experience. And dare I say, addictions are part of this. It's hard for people to do. So finally, we keep experimenting. This is years. Sometimes it's months. I mean, in a divorce, you know, if you really want it, it's here and you move on. Okay? And you start forming a new view of relationships. Religion has been so good to me. My religion, both, all of them. All of them. The way of I, all of them. They've kept me together, but they also open my eyes to how the other thinks, how the other feels. I used to help a grandma literally next door. Her son was a second violinist chair on the LA Philharmonic. But this is working class, okay? Artists are working. She had a tattoo on her arm. I didn't know what it was. But I had the wherewithal. She didn't speak a lot of English. But I had the wherewithal to ask my mother, Mama, what does that mean? And my mom explained it to me very carefully, very lovingly, but knowingly that it could happen again. We eventually end up in here, and the new knowledge starts forming. But we're still a little shaky. We're not sure we're right. That's why right or wrong doesn't work here. It's liminal space. You're That's why we're in this place right now where your story matters. And if you haven't been able to tell it, start telling it. Our children need to hear what we've been through and what our thoughts are. And that means we have to talk about religion and politics.
Ooh.
And then this starts becoming the new norm. And then guess what? It starts breaking up and a new shuttle zone will form. So our children and our grandchildren are watching and they're seeing how we're going to handle this. Anyone want to say anything to us? This is the divine dance. Microphone, please.
You say that the children want to know. My children are gone. They're in their 50s. My grandchildren have adopted their attitude, which was, they're gone too. And they don't want to hear anything from us. We're the old folks. Decrepit, and we have nothing to offer to them because we can't even operate a cell phone.
That's sad, but it's real. And that's part of your story. And I want to really, really honor that. That's why I volunteer. Because other children, for some reason, especially our new immigrant children, don't have any problems with age. Right? They just don't. You're wise. Volunteer with kids. They're hooked up. But You're not, and that's a gift. Think what their paradigm shift's going to be like. Right? Think what their marriages are going to be like, not hooked up. Okay? That's just to give you perspective. It's not judging. Okay.
I just wanted to say my daughter, in response to the last comment, my daughter was looking for a therapist and she goes, Mom, all the therapists are my age. I don't want anybody my age. I want somebody at least 60. I want somebody wise.
Wow. How old is she?
She's 32.
Okay. Yeah. I have to say, again, in my tradition, Roman Catholicism, as a campus minister, I was usually old. I mean, I was older than the students, right? When I first started out at Oxy, I was in my 30s and just a new mother and things like that. But the kids had no problem with me. And I became as my minister would call me, a lightning rod for gay people coming out. And he just didn't understand that. And so I'd ask which, by the way, is probably the most holy experience a person can have as a person. It's hard if you're the parent. I know that. But it's a holy, holy, the spirit comes in, into the room. But what was I going to say? I forgot. Anyway, you got the point. Okay.
Hi. I just wanted to mention that you were talking about the Green Circle, and I just had gotten an email this morning that there's a local group, Just Communities, that's reintroducing the Green Circle. And you're doing it?
I'm doing it.
And they've invited teachers from all over. You've invited teachers from all over the community to come learn how to do this. So
yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome. It's a magnificent program founded by an African-American teacher, second grade teacher, Philadelphia Public Schools, a Quaker. And she, busing had just been discovered as a way to integrate the schools. And she saw the hardening of the hearts of people on all, in all the issues. No matter where you stood, you had a hardened heart. And she introduced Green Circle. And I used to do the Western region, teaching parents. It changes the facilitator as well as the kids. But it stopped when the schools decided to be more academic. But she got it. She's no longer here. I'm trying to lift her. Her name is Gladys Rollins. I want to lift her up as part of this process. What a woman she was. Civil rights. Ground floor. Second grade. You're on the ground floor on second grade. You're like first responders. You know, I'll bring it next week. It's 4 one-half-hour sessions. You have a felt board. It's old-fashioned. And you have a little circle, and then you have these bigger circles. And it's green because it grows, because you decide to allow people who are different into your circle of caring. It's so simple. Every adult needs to have it again. We need to be reminded. We have forgotten what it's like to be Americans until hurricanes come. And then you get it both, you know. Okay, someone else, though. Okay.
Could you graphically overlap the Trinity on that?
It's a dance. No, it really, yeah, thank you. The energy is the dance, even back and forth. You know, I mean, it was through the shuttle zone, and because I live in the shuttle zone, because of my marriage, because of my upbringing, because of my religious background, because I grew up in L.A. Anyway, we all have that. But because of that, I had to dance. I had to learn to dance. And I had to learn, like Ginger Rogers, to dance backwards in high heels. Okay? And sometimes I ended up back here because I wasn't ready for the change. And it's okay. It's okay you're not there yet. Just stay open to the discussion, to the chat.
Real quick. Hi, I'm Gloria. Cindy. My granddaughter goes to an all-girls Catholic school, so I wanted to say something good.
Uh-huh.
They have what they call a 4-day overnight Kairos. And I think that changed my daughter's life, and she's never forgotten that experience where they bring the geeks and the
football players
and all the different categories that they have. And they find out, oh, we're all the same inside. Okay. And at the time they're having, they do a lot of journaling, they do a lot of shadow work. And then while the parents are either at a mass or a prayer meeting, the kids are reading the letters that were given to them by their parents and their friends about who they think they are. And it's just life-changing for them. And then the parents meet them as they come in. You know, they come in, they don't expect the parents to be there. So there is hope, even mm-hmm. at a Catholic school.
Yeah. Well, all schools are changing. All schools are changing. But my husband and I, Jerry and I, experienced that with our two boys at Loyola High School in L.A. You write a letter. It's kind of like the love letter in Marriage Encounter that you write to one another. You write a love letter to your child and how special they are. And specific. I mean, things that not, I love you because you're my firstborn, or, you know. But I love you because you did this for me. You keep doing this to me. You helped me open up my heart. You brought in new people into my life that I like and don't like. You know, you're honest. It's rigorous honesty. That is beautiful. Thank you, Gloria.
We're getting near the end, and it's almost time to wrap up. But I wanted to comment that I have been reading or listening to a book by Richard Rohr called The Art of Letting Go, and it's on an Audible. And okay. It is, he's given us some words for the shuttle, like the word, you're talking about change. That's what you're talking about, change there. Uh-huh. And the word is, that's what repent means in the Bible. Repent means change. And then there's another big word called metanoia. And that is the same, that belongs in the shuttle. So
right.
The old repent doesn't mean you're terrible. It means change.
It just means change. When John the Baptist says repent, and that's how usually how we read it, it is change. Just simply get in the shuttle zone. One per customer. Maybe the hokey pokey is what it's all about. To stay there.
Mm-hmm. Just one last comment. When I look at that, I also think about how we hold our spiritual relationship to God. The personal, the cosmic, the... So some of us, you know, we all kind of came with, this is who God is, this is who you are in relationship with God. And we all kind of had some fermentation, I would call it, around that, right?
Yeah.
Which is that end of the dog bone, because I love dogs.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we're challenged by life. And is God there? And can I pray for God? And where's God for me? Or where's God for other people? So we're brought into that shuttlecock of experience, which really questions us into, you know... all those existential things. And we have them when we're kids. We have them, all those things. But then somewhere I think we break through, and I like to look at the right side, and that I'm not making a judgment. This is just me personally, to where God is a relationship. God is something that's not just Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I am God on earth, not like I'm God, I'm above God,
I'm not meaning that,
but I am the opportunity to express God in body, in my presence with people, in my work, in all that I bring to it. And if you kind of are like that, you get challenged, because some people don't want to discuss God, or if you say, pray for me, they're like, you know, religion makes people, or spirituality can make people uncomfortable. So I like that, but I love your addition that it doesn't stop there, that then it breaks off again, that then it advances. And just thank you so much, because that really speaks to me. So,
thank you.
I have an invitation. Uh-oh, I'm going to drop this. Can you make it stay, John? Thank you. I have an invitation for anybody who would like to come up and get one, and it's from Cynthia. The ordination of Cynthia Louise White Yoshitomi will be at St. Anthony's Chapel at 2300 Garden Street, Sunday, September 24th at 9:30 a.m., and Cindy has invited all of us to come. So if you'd like an invitation, just come on up and get it, okay? It's going to be a wonderful event. Next week, right here in this room, we have Alice McDonald. She's going to be talking maybe about the whole book, or maybe between 57 and 77, whatever the Spirit brings. All right? So may we want to thank Cindy. Yes, thank you. Thank you, Cindy.
You're welcome.
And may we dance out into the community. See you all next week.